How are y'all doing?
What a wonderful day. What a weird day. It's a Monday afternoon here in New York City. The Giants didn't play, so that's good. The Jets did play. That was bad. They lost 10-9 at home. And the New York Mets are in a very odd situation. They're playing a doubleheader against the Atlanta Braves. It's why we're having this audio watch party as we watch along. And if the Mets can somehow win, they go to the playoffs. If they lose, they get a second crack at it. Right now, they trail 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Carlos Mendoza has employed the strategy of, we're down three. I hope we can stay in the game, but I'm going to go to some of my lower leverage arms. First, it was Waskar Brazoban, and now it's Adam Ottavino pitching the bottom of the seventh inning, trying to keep this game close. Unfortunately, the Met offense, and this has been the calling card of the Met struggles when they've struggled, has completely disappeared after they had their mini explosion against the Brewers on Sunday. They had two scoring opportunities in this game, and that's pretty much it. And despite Tyler McGill pitching into the sixth inning, and so far the bullpen keeping where it's at, the Mets have put up a goose egg against Spencer Schwellenbach, who is now through seven innings in which the Mets have managed three base hits. Three base hits, no runs, no walks. That's it against Spencer Schwellenbach. His pitch count is 83, so I firmly believe, Tiki, he comes out for the eighth inning.
Yeah, I mean, he probably does. He's already cooked for the first few games here, the wild card. He's probably cooked for the wild card in general.
Yes.
So it doesn't even matter.
Correct.
So let him go as deep as he can. He's a young pitcher with a fiery arm. He'll be fine, you know, come the divisional series. It's interesting. I mean, the rain has stopped, it looks like. So I think we're not in danger of having some kind of postponement. I was just talking.
Well, there wouldn't be a postponement. Well, they would wait for 30 hours.
No, Luga.
No, I mean, not a postponement for me. I'm just a delay. Whatever. Right. Call it a delay. And if it got really delayed, wouldn't you send Chris Sale to San Diego?
If I'm the Braves and I won?
Yes. You win game one.
Right.
So you're guaranteed in. You know exactly where you're going. Wouldn't you send Chris Sale
to San Diego? Put it this way, Tiki. If I'm the Atlanta Braves and I win game one and they're six outs away from doing it, I would send Chris Sale and Marcell Ozuna and Matt Olson there immediately.
Right.
I'd say, you're done. Just go get in the plane.
Right.
You're going to San Diego. You're locked in to play the Padres, and we'll see you tomorrow night. I don't know if they're actually going to do that. I don't know if Major League Baseball would frown upon that.
Well, they should. But why would they frown upon it?
I don't know.
I mean, Major League Baseball created this problem where this could get really dicey if weather becomes an issue for the second game.
Major League Baseball has issued a statement, by the way, and Evan's not going to like it.
Which is,
if the weather continues to be bad and they have to put a tarp on and cancel the game tonight, they will not postpone and they will end the season based on win percentage, eliminating the loser of the first game.
No, they wouldn't.
Yet they've already issued a statement.
Are you just making stuff up again?
I really was hoping for a better reaction.
Because we have an audience who's listening to you saying you're full of crap.
Well, normal people do know that I'm full of crap, but you're gullible, so I'm trying to get you to bite.
I'm not that gullible. Adam Ottavino pitched a nice bottom of the seventh, so the Mets will come up in the eighth inning down 3-0. A lot of things to get to on the Jets that we haven't touched on, including the disconnect between Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but more of your reaction to that, and obviously your thoughts on the Mets as they are in the midst of a doubleheader that will define how we view the 2024 season. 888-808-1019. Lee is calling from Long Island. What's up, Lee?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Bad, but thanks for asking.
Okay. I know. You should have bet $1 million on the Braves in the first game. You knew what was going to happen. I mean,
I didn't bet $1 million, but trust me, I bet a few shekels.
There is a little emotional insurance. It's always guaranteed for Evan.
Yes.
I believe that. Really quick about the Jets game yesterday, 1 point for each of you guys. Really quick, it's got to be getting harder and harder for you to keep defending Nate Hackett when we watch the same garbage.
Tell me what happened yesterday that made you question
Nate. What happened was that offense was completely unprepared. That's what that was. And you could blame the head coach, but I'm sorry, when you score 9 points, and here's the second point I'm going to get to, and Evan, sometimes the best way to get past an issue is to first admit you have one. You know that expression?
Yeah, what's my issue?
No, it's the issue for all of us Jets fans.
Oh,
it's
go ahead. Yes.
It's not you. It's you, the universal
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
Jets
fine.
Fans.
What's that? What is our issue?
Aaron,
I know a few of them.
Aaron Rodgers, at this point of his career, is a very average quarterback, and he's on the decline.
Okay.
And give me a second.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand that he has experience, and he's going to have some good moments, and he's going to have some good games, but the truth of the matter is, there are probably 20 or more quarterbacks in this league that are better than him right now, including Joe Flacco, who just lit up the Pittsburgh Steelers,
yeah,
who is also an average. Oh no, who's also an average quarterback, but is playing better. And I'm telling you, the Jets don't have the advantage at quarterback in most games.
Okay. Let me answer it this
way.
Well,
I think yesterday they did.
Well, yeah, yesterday you're better against a young guy like Bo Nix, who put up one of the greatest stats I've ever seen. Courtland Sutton had more receiving yards than Bo Nix had passing yards, which is almost impossible to do, but it actually happened. So let me address this with Aaron Rodgers. I think I've accomplished step one, okay? And even Sean, I think, would be proud of me. Mm-hmm. I accomplished step one. The first thing I said about yesterday's game, and there's a lot of different ways you can go, but the first place I went to was the quarterback let us down.
Yeah.
The quarterback didn't play well, and I believe he's getting a free pass from just about everybody else because it's easy to rip Robert Saleh. Rightfully so. Not saying ripping Robert Saleh is wrong. I'm saying that's the easy one. We're so used to it. But this quarterback is supposed to be better, and he wasn't good enough yesterday, and dare I say he was bad yesterday. So just say you're proud of me.
I am proud of you, Evan.
Thank you. That's step one. But I'm not ready, despite criticizing his performance in yesterday's game, to take the leap that our last caller's leaping, which is, that's it. He's not that good. He's just average. I can't do that. I don't think I've seen enough evidence to do that. I haven't seen enough through these four games. I don't put that much stock in 2 years ago where, yes, he had a very average year in his final year with Green Bay. That, to me, is not enough to come to that conclusion. Will I come to that conclusion at some point this season? It's possible. But I'm not there yet to say, hey, the Jets have an Aaron Rodgers problem. I am ready, though, on a week-by-week basis, like I'm doing today, to say he didn't play well yesterday, and he deserves a lot of the blame for it.
It's hard to see you have an Aaron Rodgers problem. It depends on what your expectations are, right? If you're thinking this team is a playoff team, fun year, then you don't have an Aaron Rodgers problem. But I think you were reminded yesterday, if you were a Jet fan that had Super Bowl dreams, you do have an Aaron Rodgers problem, because as the games get in December and January, you saw what Tua had to deal with playing in Kansas City last year and with playing at Buffalo. He is going to play in bad weather again.
I'm not convinced.
And this is not an anomaly.
I'm not convinced that's the issue. To me, here are the two issues. And Teek, you tell me if I'm missing this because you watched the tape on this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my layman's eyes Jets fan issues that Aaron Rodgers had yesterday, twofold. Number one, the offensive line wasn't good. All right. The offensive line wasn't great. The pass protection went backwards. The run blocking has not been great this season. And Breece Hall obviously had a horrible game on the ground. Some of it on him, some of it on his offensive line. That's issue number one. And issue number two, and this is concerning, it seems like his communication and his chemistry with a lot of his receivers led by Garrett Wilson is just not there.
Well,
and that's a problem.
Well,
especially with Garrett Wilson.
So the biggest thing when I look at those things that you're talking about, the communication issues, it's all repetition. It's all, how many times have you done this? So that it gets to the point where you're not thinking about it. He reacts, knows exactly how you're going to react. And the Xavier Gibson pass that I was talking about earlier on their last drive, or penultimate drive, I think it was, where he is expecting a back shoulder throw, and Rodgers is, Xavier Gibson's just running a go route. Like, you don't know what he wants to do in that moment, because how many passes has Aaron Rodgers thrown to Xavier Gibson? You know what I mean? And so it gets hard to hold anyone at fault because they're just not familiar with one another. There is one thing that I do know is going to happen in London, though, because you saw it on the first play of the game. The Denver Broncos brought seven on five down, and then they brought both linebackers.
Yeah.
And you're just outmatched. You have six blockers, there's seven guys. Aaron Rodgers has got to get rid of that ball.
Yeah.
He doesn't even see it coming on his backside, and he gets sacked. If there's one thing that the Minnesota Vikings do, it is put pressure on quarterbacks.
And the Denver Broncos blitzed, I think, 55% of the time yesterday.
Absolutely.
Spencer Schwellenbach is done. He's done because Tyrone Taylor started the eighth inning with a leadoff double. So the Mets, with a little bit of a pulse, trailing 3-0, they get Schwellenbach out of the game. They need one more base runner to bring the tying run to the plate. It's 3-0 Atlanta. Remember, the Atlanta Braves have Raisel Iglesias. I'm not sure if they're going to him right now and not messing around. It's probably too early to ask for a six-out save, but it's certainly on the table, because if you're the Atlanta Braves, you just want to get this thing done. You don't want to mess around. In fact, it's not Joe Jimenez, who's had a very good year out of their bullpen, is going to come in. Mets have a runner on second and nobody out. But, yeah, you got to get rid of the ball very, very quickly.
Well, he has to get rid of the ball very quickly, but he also has to be, I think, more aware that teams are going to do this to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the Patriots game where the Patriots just kind of let him run around unfettered and make those ridiculous throws and catches and, you know, elevate everybody. Teams aren't going to let that happen anymore, especially now that they've seen it on tape. And they know that, yeah, he can scramble a little bit, but he's not the elusive guy that he was even 5 years ago.
Eric is calling from Bayville. How are we doing today, Eric?
Now, the question is, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm not doing very good. I'm very stressed out. I've realized that while I respect Sean, I kind of hate him. But other than that, yeah, I'm hanging in there okay. How are you?
So I'm okay because my game's on Saturday, but it's just I feel for you, buddy, because the fans should not even let you work because at this point it's like you have one foot in, one foot out. They should just give you the day off because I used to bartend and they used to be like, I'd be like, hey, can I have off for the games? And they'd be like, no, why don't you work? You're a big fan. And then I worked one game and they saw that no one got a beer and that I was because I was angry. And they were like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't work the games anymore.
Yeah, well, so hopefully that's the decision to make if the Mets are in the postseason. But listen, it is something we're all dealing with on a Monday. If you're a Met fan, people have to work, and they're distracted by the game. Evan, it's just the reality of life.
Evan, one more question. Robert Saleh, do you think that he's – all right, he's literally 19 and 38 now.
Yes.
Are these guys treating him like the substitute teacher? Are they throwing, like, paper airplanes at his back when he's writing on the board? And they're like
– here's why – that may be the case, Steve.
No, I don't think that's the case. That's not fair to Robert Saleh.
You know what,
I think
though,
his team loves him, actually.
The team could love him as much as they want. All we can judge it on is results.
Yes.
And for this team, since the moment he got here, and it certainly continued yesterday, to continue to be a Francisco Alvarez ripped down the left field line. The Mets are on the board. Alvarez is in at second, and the Mets are putting a little rally together.
How about that?
Little rally together.
Our Mets. Let's go.
Francisco Alvarez with an RBI double against Joe Jimenez. So it's 3-1 Atlanta. Runner on second. Yeah. Nobody out. Bader's up. By the way, Bader's got to be pinch hit for. Let's get that out of the way right now. I would go to Jesse Winker in this spot. Left-handed bat. Jimenez stays in the game, obviously, because he's only faced one batter. If Harris, if when the screen pops on and I see Harrison Bader's face, I'm going to lose my mind. It's got to be Jesse Winker as a pinch hitter right now as the tying run after this Francisco Alvarez RBI double. And I'm half right. It's Starling Marte. I got no problem with that. I knew is Bader could not be the guy, and instead Starling Marte is the guy with a runner on second and nobody out. Anyhow,
yeah.
The reason I question that caller may have validity is since the moment he's gotten here, the team's an undisciplined mess.
Yeah,
How do you explain it?
But so much of a lot of the discipline from this past game is again getting, and I'm just going to be my theme all day, by the way, is getting used to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wants to create the free play. He wants to give himself the advantage. It's what really good quarterbacks do when they have the advantage, the ability via cadence to get a team off balance. And so you saw it over and over and over again. But those guys were either distracted by the weather or just unaware. And I loved what Aaron said. You know, forget the
base hit Starling Marte. Alvarez stops at third, and the Mets are rallying. They've got the tying run on first base with nobody out. And guess who's coming up?
You want to go up to like 880 and call this?
Francisco Lindor. I'm not doing play-by-play. That is not play-by-play.
I remember the pep talk you gave all of us 5 minutes before we went in the air. You're ignoring all of it.
No. Right. I said I'm going to tell you what happens, and then you guys can respond. What's your response to that?
Well, I mean.
You know how this all started?
Base hit, first and third, nobody out for Lindor. Let's do some quick predictions. What does Lindor do in this spot, Tiki?
He hits a home run. Go ahead.
Really?
Yep.
You know, you're just being way too positive for no reason.
I'm not.
You're just trying to make me happy.
I'm not. I'm just predicting what you asked what I thought was going to happen. He's 0-2 on the day.
Okay.
He can't, or 0-3 on the day.
0-3.
He can't waste all these hits. He's batting lefty, obviously against the righty, and he's going to pull this one second deck. At Truist.
If that happens, I'm taking my pants off.
Please don't do that.
I'm telling you right now.
All right, let's have a look.
Pants are coming off if Lindor goes deep. Raisel Iglesias, the Braves closer, is warming up. So Brian Snitker's getting very aggressive. Two-run lead, nobody out in the eighth inning.
It's going to be too late, and then Edwin Diaz is going to come in. Game over.
Stop. Would you do that? Would you go to Diaz for a six-out save?
I would.
Actually, let's not debate that. The Mets do not have a lead. All right, real quick, what does Lindor do in this spot, Sean?
Strikes out, swing, and pulls his back out for the year.
Okay. Loogie, what does he do real quick?
Double to tie the game.
You go in with a double to tie the game for Lindor. I'm going to go with a sacrifice fly. So it makes it 3-2. and there'll be one out with a runner on first. Is that a boring prediction?
That is very boring.
Very.
With Nimmo? Is it Nimmo? Yeah.
No, it would be Jose Iglesias is up
right.
next.
Second.
Iglesias and then Mark Vientos in the eighth inning with nobody out.
Oh, he was swinging for it, too.
Francisco took a very big swing on 1-0. He swung and missed. The count as 1-1.
Do you know how the rally started?
Yeah, the rally started with a double by Tyrone Taylor.
Tyrone Taylor became Justin Timberlake. He was hitting Schwellen back.
I'm really sorry you're here.
I got booed.
Yes, your coworkers are booing you. That was a lame one.
Wow.
Did you plan that for like the last 5 minutes waiting?
I've been sitting on it for a good 6 minutes. Took it from my avenue.
Yeah, the problem is the Mets didn't hit Schwellen back. So you're like, man, I've got this great line that I could actually never possibly use.
How do you turn that?
Lindor rips a base hit up the middle.
That's it.
It's 3-2. They have 2-1 and nobody out
Let's
for Iglesias. Who predicted RBI single? Wasn't you.
No, I struck out back out for the year.
You said home run. What'd you say?
I said double ties the game.
That's fine. RBI single Lindor. The New York Mets, who
look
dead, have 2-1. They better tie this game, though.
When Lindor opens, another closes. Let's go. Getting booed again.
No, that was a good one, man.
Thanks.
Now we know why the guy that hired you left.
Now, with 2-1 and nobody out, the batter is Jose Iglesias. Would you consider laying down a bunt?
No way. He's hitting 340, and he's been the heart and soul of the team all year.
Okay. Let him swing.
Okay. I'm just asking the question.
And I just answered.
Thank you.
And Jimenez is having trouble.
Yes. No, I wouldn't bunt either, by the way, and I'm usually aggressive on.
Would you bring in?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, so the Atlanta Braves are making the big bullpen change. Raisel Iglesias, the Braves closer, is coming in for a six-out save with nobody out in the eighth inning and two on. The Mets have pulled it to win 3-2. I'm going to lose my freaking mind here.
What do we got? Mets positive on the money line here.
That's great. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We're going to come right back. We'll keep you posted on this. We'll mix in the Jets. We'll mix in the Knicks. And hopefully, I take my pants off.
By the way,
if the Mets tie or take the lead, pants are coming off.
We all lose in that spot.
This is why I said when we were pre-planning this show, you can't talk about the Jets.
Well,
why the hell are we even trying to talk about the Jets?
We've got some Jets in. I feel good about that. Mm.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yes! Yes! Brandon Nimmo has hit a two-run home run. Not after Mark Vientos' sacrifice fly. Not after Jose Iglesias' RBI single. And the ceiling has come crashing down on the Braves.
I'm getting moist.
Have scored 6 runs in the top of the eighth inning with their backs to the wall. I always believed in this game, TK.
Good thing they didn't send Chris Sale to the airport. He might have to pitch this afternoon.
This game is not over, but the Mets have scored 6. They lead 6-3. They have tattooed the Brave bullpen. It started with Joe Jimenez, 3 hits in a row, and it has continued against the great Raisel Iglesias. The Mets looked dead. They looked done. And they were down by 3. And then they rally here in the eighth inning. It all started with a Tyrone Taylor double.
He's out of breath.
It continued with an Alvarez double. It continued with Starling Marte and Francisco Lindor and Jose Iglesias. And then finally, Brandon Nimmo, who had been an absolute dog in some of the biggest moments of 2022. Brandon Nimmo awoken. And now the Mets are 6 outs away. The Braves did something very interesting. They went to their closer, Raisel Iglesias. He crapped the bed, and then Snitker pulled him because he's thinking about game 2. The Mets are 6 outs away from not giving a rat's ass about game 2. They lead 6-3. I would like some insurance runs, but do you go to Edwin Diaz for 6 outs even after he pitched yesterday?
No, you don't need to.
I do not do that.
You don't need to.
Oh, he's blowing this game, too. I can see it. I can see it unfolding in front of me. I'm like a prophet. Oh,
we're
going to be here and everyone's going to be crushed.
Why are you throwing negativity into the
environment? I'm not trying to. I just sniff it out.
You really can't sniff that out?
Diaz is blowing this game.
Well, I told you guys if the Mets took the lead, I would take my pants off. I'm going to do that right now.
Take them off.
No, you're not.
Take them off.
Oh, my God.
Take them off. Oh, he's got Mets shorts on with flowers.
I think he pre-planned taking his pants
off. Look at this. And look how white those legs are.
The sun is
I'm getting moist. Did you see a pool all summer?
Well, that is a Mets bathing suit, and I've been saving it for a very special occasion.
Wow.
That almost made me drop my pants.
I'll tell you, six runs against the Braves in the eighth inning, that'll make any grown man drop their pants. Let me tell you, that was an incredible, incredible sequence. But
not
it's not
the other 15 in here.
But it's not over. Okay, Phil Maton is warming up. Phil Maton has pitched in back-to-back games. He will be asked to pitch a third straight game against 5, 6, and 7 of the Braves' order. And then
catch your breath, dude. You have three other guys here. We
here's the reality. The sun has now come out.
Yeah. And so literally, it's out.
That's what I mean.
Well,
Thought you were giving me credit for a figurative.
Yeah, you're doing a show.
I see. I got you. the literal sun has come out down in Atlanta, and so it feels good if you're a Met right now. It feels good in that dugout if you're a Met right now.
Well, the
Gelbs over there just giving some kind of information. We can't hear it, but I mean, this is exactly what the Mets had planned, I think.
You know what, Steve?
Make Evan stress all day long, and then when he wants to get as stressed as possible, we're going to make him feel good about himself.
I think
that's what this feels like, Evan.
I think Steve Gelbs is telling the world what he told us a couple days ago. These Mets, the positive Tommy Mets, have more fun, Evan.
Well, the positive Tommy Mets, these Mets, looked dead for multiple days. And if they can hold on and get the last six outs, this kind of win, if they can get these six outs, would put an exclamation point on, yes, a very fun and very different and very exciting season. But they need to get six outs. Their bullpen at times has been shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Edwin Diaz at times has been shaky, though he's been great since the Corbin Carroll Grand Slam not too long ago. They need to find a way to get the final six outs and secure this win.
Six outs. You can't lose to San Diego either if you have a win like this.
What does that mean?
You got to get more than six outs. Lose to San Diego, this win versus Atlanta means nothing. Well, you got to get to the division series.
Well, first of all, let me explain something to Sean. It's also got a sponsor, so I can explain it to the audience.
Yes, we can.
These MLB scenarios, which Sean doesn't understand.
Oh, Milwaukee, whatever.
They're brought to you by Sloman's Home Heating Oil, okay? So here is the scenario. If the Mets win this game, they make the playoffs. But we don't know who they face next. Mm-hmm. If they win the second game, then Sean's right. They would go play the San Diego Padres. If they lose the second game, then they would go back to Milwaukee and take on the Brewers. So the Mets do not know who they would be facing if they are fortunate enough to get the final six outs and make the playoffs.
And they are kind of incentivized, I would think, to lose the second game if they win the first game.
You know what?
One, because of the trip, and two, because of how good San Diego has been.
I will have that discussion with you. It'll be a very good discussion.
When it matters?
If the Mets win this game. Until then,
Mets win this game.
When? If the Mets win this game.
Look how upset she is.
Yeah, there's a woman on TV in Atlanta.
She's taking a nap.
And a man on TV in Atlanta. They're doing, SNY is doing the let's show all the sad people's faces.
Yeah.
Which I do appreciate. I mean, who doesn't want to drink the tears of a bunch of Georgians? I mean, that's one of the greatest things you could do. But I warn you, get some more runs. Mets have a runner on first and two outs in the eighth inning. Tyrone Taylor started the inning, so the Mets are officially batting around as he comes up with a runner on first and two outs. I will not feel comfortable unless they get an eight-run lead. If they got an eight-run lead, yes, then I would have some exuberance.
I mean, that's just Little League, Tyrone Taylor.
What do you mean that's Little League?
If you bat around and score that many runs, that's Little League.
Well, the inning is over because Tyrone Taylor eventually ended up flying one to center field for the third out of the inning. So it's a six-run eighth inning. The Mets lead 6-3 going to the bottom of the eighth inning. They are six outs away from going to the postseason for just the seventh time in my lifetime. For the second time in 3 years, they need six more outs! Six more outs, Pinky! All right. We're going to break the tension by going back to your phone calls. A lot of angry Jet fans still want to talk about that. This is what I love about today's show. It's just chaos. It's screaming about the Mets into, the Jets suck. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go to a Met call. There is a guy on hold.
Thank you for calling about the Mets.
There is a guy on hold who wanted to rip the Mets, but I wonder how he feels now. Ross in Bergen County. How we doing, Ross?
Guys, I called in 40 minutes ago. School got out about 2 hours ago. I've been sitting in squalor in my car. I had a back-pocketed Morash-type line of this lineup's collective legs with piss rolling down them. And all this lineup needed was a spark lit under their ass, and I just watched it unfold for this past 10 minutes. Now, Evan, I'm like you. I'm holding my breath because this game ain't over. And if you know the Mets, they'll find a way to take our smiles and turn them upside
down. Why are you Mets fans so negative? I don't understand
this.
This is
when this looks so hopeless. I was going to bring up the Beningo cliche of you could change everything, but you're always going to get the same old Mets, and you got Cannelita, Grimace, Glizzy, Iggy. They're all smiling over us, Evan. Oh, my. And Andrew, can't forget Positive Tommy. You know what?
Of course.
If he sticks out, the Positive Tommy's going to be on cloud nine.
Hero. I'll say this about Positive Tommy. As obnoxious as he is to sit next to, if the Mets get these Sigs outs, I'm going to give him the biggest hug he's ever gotten.
Tongue?
I mean, honestly, I'd be excited enough to possibly consider that situation.
Tongue. Your tongue is staying in your mouth and your mouth.
Do it for Seymour Wiener.
But it is funny when you think about all the gimmicks the Mets have had this season.
Of course.
Starting all the way back with Seymour Wiener, that's a good reference, into Grimace, into Jorge Lopez.
The rally pimp. Sorry, yep. Andy Martino.
I love that Jorge Lopez is considered a gimmick.
His glove is the gimmick.
He bombed and threw a glove into the air.
You know what it is, actually?
It was a catalyst. It wasn't a gimmick. It was a catalyst.
You're right.
It forced them into a team meeting, which ultimately changed the nature of the season.
It's not only that, which is so true, Teak. It's also the quote, which I will find and replay at some point, and that is him saying, even though he probably didn't mean to say this, this is the worst team in baseball.
Remember? He did not say that.
I know he didn't.
Oh, yeah. He said, I'm the worst teammate in baseball.
No, I agree that that's probably what
he said.
That
is definitely what he said.
But for the sake of this, it's fun. It's fun to do that. By the way, Mets made a bunch of defensive changes, which includes Eddie Alvarez coming in to play second and Iglesias third. So Mark Vientos is done. Phil Maton took over to pitch the eighth inning. Phil Maton is pitching for a third straight day. He's had a wonderful year for the Mets. He has not pitched in three straight games at all this season. He only did it one time last season. So they are asking Maton, with a three-run lead, facing Jorge Soler. Actually, it's not Jorge Soler. He came out for defense. It's Eli White. How about that? That's the risk, Teak, when you make defensive moves.
Yeah.
You get a little cocky.
Especially when you get behind, you lose your bat.
Now, with that said, Eli White can still get a base hit and make us feel like idiots. So Phil Maton's got to go get him out and get at least two outs. And then I would assume Mendy would get aggressive like Snitker did and start to warm up Edwin Diaz. Unfortunately, Phil Maton began this inning by hitting Eli White with a pitch. The Mets seem to be angry, thinking he swung. That's not reviewable. The only thing that's reviewable is if the ball hit him or not. That's the only thing the Mets would be able to challenge. But if they're pissed off thinking that Eli White swung, too bad. There's nothing you could do about it. So the Atlanta Braves are about to have the leadoff man on. And looking at the replay, I would say that it definitely hit him. And it looked like he did swing.
Yeah, but he wasn't quite into his swing.
It looks like he swung, but there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah,
The rest of the swing happens after he's hit, and that's a reaction from being hit.
Doesn't matter. Do you not know the rules of baseball?
Apparently you don't.
Do you want me to explain that to you?
Apparently you don't.
It doesn't freaking matter what his intent
was. He's let go of the grip of the bat. It's not a swing.
No, it is a swing. It's an absolute swing, but there's nothing the Mets could do. I mean, it's just not a challenge.
But is a swing a swing if it's not full finish?
Swing, yeah.
No,
he didn't even go all the way around.
It's not a swing until you go all the way around.
No, first of all, when they check swings at first base and third base.
Man, you got your homer goggles on.
Positive Tommy, can you break the tie on that? Did he swing or not?
He swung.
Oh, you guys are
But I also was going to ask Evan when he's going to put his pants back on. You look like a crazy person on a cruise ship.
You know what? If the Braves put another base runner around, the pants are going back
on. Stay off. Once they're off, they're off. It's a party, right?
Edwin Diaz
has
begun.
You're going to go find a pool to jump in when they win.
Yeah, I would. Edwin Diaz has begun warming up in the Met bullpen. It'll be interesting to see at what point when Mendy would go super aggressive and go to him. Mendy pitched Diaz yesterday, and he threw a lot of pitches. So we'll keep an eye on that as we're having a big fun time at this audio watch party. Let's go to Tim in Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, Tim?
Evan, I talked to you last week. I said relax. I told you, relax. You guys you literally came back from a three-run deficit right now, and you're worrying about, like, every little inkling right now.
Because they haven't won the game yet. Because they haven't won the game yet, Tim.
Oh, Tim. My God. I mean, come on. Like, right now, I mean, I thought that you guys were going to throw out Grimace as your jerseys, but obviously you guys are away right now. But, like, I literally told you, you got to calm down.
First of all, I literally told you. Tim,
and
Tim,
you know what? Right
Tim,
now.
Tim. You still going, Tim?
All right,
he's gone. Tim.
No, he's listening.
Okay, well, I cut him off. I'm sorry. Tim, they haven't won a game yet. Don't give me the I told you so stuff. You know, I've had this conversation with Tiki where Tiki really wants to say I told you so about Sam Darnold. And I said after 1 week to Teak, you look very right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hold off. But Teak,
I'm still holding off. I haven't done the on-air I told you so.
He hasn't done the on-air one.
But he's leading the NFL in touchdowns right now.
Here's a good tie break. Who would you rather have right now, Sam Darnold or Aaron Rodgers?
That's not the point.
Maybe it is.
But Teak yesterday in our text chat says, quote, is it too early to say I was right about Sam Darnold? And what I would say to Teak and what I would say to Tim, who sounds like a wonderful guy, hey, relax, everything's going to be okay, very easy to say from your ivory perch. When it happens, take your bows. You're right, take your bows. Like, I'm telling you right now, if the Mets win this game, there's a lot of bows that are going to occur, but the very first bow and the loudest bow is going to come from Tommy Lugau.
Positive Tommy.
He deserves that.
Positive Tommy's been quiet today.
Because he's nervous.
No, I'm very positive. I don't. Positive Tommy does not have pores. He doesn't sweat. And I'm relaxed, cool, calm, and calculated. Just like I was for Knicks Sixers game six.
You know what's crazy? He's not completely lying.
No.
Because I've sat next to Tommy since this game started. And I'll tell you exactly what he does. All right? I'll tell you exactly what he does. He whispers to himself. He whispers to himself. And what I have heard over the last 2 hours, a lot of excuses, a lot of, oh, you know, Schwellenbach. Yeah.
He is pretty good.
Yeah,
he's good.
Know.
He's good.
Hit. I don't know. It isn't easy because Phil Maton gave up a bloop hit to Travis d'Arnaud. So the Braves are rallying in the eighth inning. They bring the tying run to the plate with first and third and one out. And I'll tell you right now, I go to Diaz. Gio Urshela is coming to the plate. The tying run's at the plate. Maton's faced three batters. Like I said, he's pitching for a third straight day. This is the moment. I'm first guessing it right now. This is the moment.
I mean, I don't know.
Where you go to Edwin Diaz.
The problem was this was a cheapie.
Doesn't matter.
That was a cheapie. And so he's not. It's not like he's getting hit hard. It's not like he's lost his it. He just. It was a cheapie. And what's his kid's name?
Eli White.
White.
Well, Eli White's the guy that went to third base.
Eli White was aggressive on a bloop single to center field. He gets all the way to third. He's not even looking. He just turns the corner.
Well, I've got news for you. Carlos Mendoza agrees with me. Edwin Diaz is now coming into this game to try to get a five-out save. Raisel Iglesias, the Braves closer.
Don't love it.
How about this situation? The Braves and the Mets have both gone to their closers in the eighth inning of a game in which they'd like to win, but if they don't win, they've got the insurance of a game, too.
Feels
and I
desperate.
Guess... I think it's aggressive.
It's desperate to win this game.
You wouldn't have gone to Diaz there?
I think I would have waited one more batter. Just because.
Not even factoring in the fact that Phil Maton has pitched an awful lot over the last couple of days.
Edwin Diaz pitched yesterday. And so.
Yeah, but Edwin Diaz is better when he pitches a lot. He hadn't pitched in a week when he came into the game yesterday. You clapped when d'Arnaud got a hit, did you not?
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat as you. My money's behind it. Emotional hedge, you didn't do it?
Yeah, I did emotionally.
By the way, plus 630, double down. Let's go.
Oh, I definitely will. Excuse me. I'm sorry to
Are
burp.
Are you just
but...
burping on the air now? we have
like
to
a
have
little respectable.
Some decorum.
Wow. I didn't mean to.
I really don't.
Full social show right now.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to.
Your pants are off and you're burping.
Well, it's a party. We're having an audio watch party.
It's not an old folks home here.
Sorry about that. I don't think in this watch party you should be clapping for the Atlanta Braves. I thought that was very disrespectful.
First of all, I had a twitch in my hand. Second of all, I realized as I was clapping, I realized, oh, yeah, I bet the Braves, so it's good.
Yeah, I bet the Braves, but I'm not rooting for the Braves
I'm
to
not
win.
Rooting for them. Plus, I
you just clap for them.
Evan, I know the Mets are winning games. That's why I'm not that
if
worried
about
it.
If they lose this game after coming
I'd be
back.
I've been consistent about it.
So you think they're going to blow this game?
I do. I think Diaz is blowing this game. You're going to melt down. You're still going to win game two anyway.
I can't deal with this. I'll tell you
what, I'm not supposed to give my honest prediction?
You're going to put your pants back on, take your shirt off, and then run out of here.
I'm putting my pants on right now.
Put your trousers back on.
I feel like I have to.
All right, left to right on your radio dial, Evan is putting on the light blue denim over the flower Met bathing suit. Let's see, he goes button before zipper. The button is up, the zipper's there. He's tucked in the polo. Now he's untucking it. Met polo on the crest, left heart.
And
sits back down. Thankfully, we didn't have a something about Mary moment
and
there.
And beltless.
Yeah. Well, I don't need a belt.
The question is, will Gio Urshela be, in fact, a nice fella here for the folks in Atlanta?
I'm begging you to stop.
I need desperately.
It's entertaining me, Tommy.
Really?
The dad jokes? Oh, they're hideous.
I need Edwin Diaz to make this very easy on us. Get Gio Urshela to roll one over, turn a double play, and let's get to the ninth inning with a three-run lead. The Mets scored six runs in the top of the eighth inning to take a 6-3 lead, and now the Braves are trying to rally. It's amazing because the first pitch that Edwin Diaz threw was a strike that was called a ball. And I'm going to try to
That's all it is for you right now.
I'm going to try not to whine.
That's all the negativity. It's coming back.
He threw a strike, and it was called a ball. That's how the at-bat started. Now, luckily, the second pitch he threw turned out to be fouled off. It was tapped a little bit to the left side. So we got the strike back. The count is 1-1. And you want to get scared, Met fans? The on-deck hitter is Jared Kelnick, who was traded for Edwin Diaz. That's what happened. Now, luckily, when Kelnick comes up, he'll do it with two outs. Because what happened
is that Gio Urshela tapped one back to the mound. So now the Atlanta Braves have second and third with two outs, and you can't make this crap up. You could try, and we'd say this is stupid.
This is amazing.
But Jared Kelnick is coming up as the tying run against the team he was traded by for the player he was traded for. I can't deal with this.
And it's a beautiful
freaking deal with this.
Right, I know. It's just
and Robinson Cano is now guest umpiring.
Right.
I mean, I this is unbelievable that Jared Kelnick, of all people, coming up as the tying run.
So 2 years ago, Edwin Diaz got paid for being one of the elite closers in Major League Baseball. And yes, he had not a bad year. He had an injured year a year ago because of what happened in the offseason. And so Edwin Diaz got paid. And he is paid to be elite in moments that matter.
Well,
and this is the moment that matters for the Mets season.
He's facing Jared Kelnick. He's behind 2-0. And Pete Alonso made a diving play, but Edwin Diaz never covered. So a run comes in to score. It's now 6-4.
Wow.
And unfortunately, Pete Alonso, who's been so great defensively, could have had his moment by making a great diving play, which he did. And it did save a run. But unfortunately, I don't know what the hell Edwin Diaz was doing on the mound. He never got off the mound to cover first base. We're watching the replay right now. He literally stood there.
Oh, my God.
He literally stood there.
That's pathetic.
Pete Alonso made a headlong diving play to rob Kelnick of what would have been a two-run double. And Diaz never moved.
And then pointed to his chest to say it was on me. Yeah, no kidding, Edwin.
Yeah, no kidding, Edwin. We didn't know that.
I just had to talking about how much he got paid to be the guy in these moments.
Oh, great transition.
I know. Unbelievable transition. You're paid to be on task.
Unbelievable.
And the last thing he is on. He got the ground ball, which you wanted.
Well, it was a ground
Pete
ball.
Pete Alonso made a fantastic stab on it because it was pretty well hit. Edwin Diaz standing there.
Look, Pete made a great play. If he doesn't make that play, it's 6-5 with the tying run on second. Instead, it's 6-4. And here's Michael Harris. And Tommy and I made a mistake. Before the Mets took on the Braves last Tuesday, we said, which guy scares us the most? I said Matt Olson. He said Travis d'Arnaud. This guy scares us the most. Because Michael Harris has been great. He was great in that first game. He's been unbelievable since he came back. And he's a three-run home run away from killing me. From literally having me just drop right here as we do this live audio watch party.
Be great for me.
Why? Do you assume you're just going to get this job?
Slide right in.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. Rondé's getting the job. Everybody knows that. So Edwin Diaz needs to make big pitches against Michael Harris. The tying run is on first base with two outs. The Mets are trying to get their way to the ninth inning. Unfortunately, Edwin's behind 2-0, and the pinch runner for Kelnick, Whit Merrifield, stole second. And Edwin Diaz didn't even look over.
Yeah.
So now the Braves are literally a base hit away from tying this game up.
Unbelievable.
Edwin Diaz cannot make a mistake. And unfortunately, he's fallen behind Harris 3-0. And the on-deck hitter is Ozzie Albies, who could potentially come up. He's the guy with the home run in the third inning.
And
this is unbelievable.
This is class. The Braves look very merry in the field right now.
Oh, my God. Punch him, Tiki.
I'm not, because he's trying to make it light. There's so much tension with you right now.
Edwin Diaz walks Michael Harris
on four pitches. He walked
him. Sean, shut up.
No.
Seriously,
Tiki,
can you slap him?
He walked him.
I said he walked him. He walked him. The bases are loaded with two outs for Ozzie Albies.
I think he was pitching around.
Yeah.
There.
So the problem right now for the Mets is that Edwin Diaz is in his head right now. And so when you get in your head, it's really hard to find the way out of it.
Problem.
And the only thing that can you hope for is that you get, I don't want to say lucky, but you know when you start pressing, doesn't matter what sport you're playing, you end up, I don't know, not being able to find your way back until your excellence. And so right now, that's where Edwin Diaz is stuck.
Wow.
So he just walked Michael Harris on four straight pitches, and he's now down 2-0 on Albies. And so he just can't find a plate. He's
this
in his own
bad.
Head.
This is, I mean, bad.
This is where it would behoove Francisco Alvarez to go take a mound visit, to calm him down. I know he's a vet. I know he's someone who's had excellence in his career, Edwin Diaz, but sometimes as a catcher, it's your job to calm him down.
Well,
and right now, he needs to be calmed down, Edwin Diaz.
The Mets are in a very tricky spot. The count is 2-1 to Ozzie Albies. They have the tying run on second, the lead run at first, more runs at the plate, and Edwin Diaz has fallen behind Ozzie Albies 3-1. He didn't miss much on that 2-1 pitch, but he missed. And so now he's behind 3-1, and we all know doom is about to hit us. We all know it. We had our tees. We had our moment. We all had fun.
You took your pants off too early.
Yeah, that's the problem. You took your pants off too early.
We're about to be hit, and we've just been hit. Ozzie Albies has hit a ball off the wall. The Braves are going to score all three runs. They've taken the lead 7-6, and I've died inside.
That's why you make the emotional hedge, Evan. Yes. Now you get a little profit.
Yeah, now the interesting thing is that Sean called this.
I did. I said this. Diaz was going to blow the game. You're going to win game two. No problem.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is.
I'm a prophet.
Right now, we're watching the Atlanta Braves fans who went from complete despair to jubilation.
How does this happen?
And it's all because Mindy put faith in a guy who probably was rattled. And I mean, this is what it is. It's one of those moments where you're gonna second guess yourself no matter what.
I'm not second guessing going Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz sucked. He came in and just completely collapsed.
Kicking the groin.
That's what it comes down to. Because even when he got the out that could have gotten through the inning, he doesn't run to first base.
Yeah.
He doesn't run a first base.
This is all on Diaz. This is an epitome of an Edwin Diaz.
I don't disagree with Mendy going to him. I disagree with the fact. Edwin Diaz sucked. I mean, he came in and did this to us. And now, what a backbreaking kind of loss. He is trying to get through this inning, at least with them only being down by a run. And remember, the Braves already pulled Raisel Iglesias. So the Braves don't have their closer. But, oh, my God, what a kick in the absolute balls. The Mets score 6 runs in the top of the 8th inning to tease us. And then Edwin Diaz comes in and blows the whole thing up. The whole thing he blows, including falling behind Albies after he walked Michael Harris on 4 pitches. And then Albies, who's the absolute killer today, as he drives in how many runs? He cleared the bases on that one. So 5 RBIs of the 7 runs driven in by Ozzie Albies. I'm sick to my stomach.
Albies,
oh,
damn.
Oh, my God. I'm absolutely disgusted.
Well done, Sean.
I know that they can
win. Sean creating a levity. You're just trying
to
keep it. You have to, because otherwise you're going to cry.
And again, I'm already crying.
Evan's doing a podcast from the Titanic.
I know, exactly. He's doing a play-by-play from the Titanic over here.
But are you still positive, Tommy, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. The game's not over yet.
But as Sean has said already, you got game two. They're exhausting their bullpen right now.
Well, so are the Mets.
It doesn't matter. The Braves are exhausting their bullpen right now.
The Mets are going to try to have to win a second game, assuming they don't come back with Edwin Diaz, let's face it, not being available.
By the way,
he's already thrown 20 pitches in this game.
Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I mean, he's still the guy you trust the most despite him sucking today.
But not after today. After doing this in the morning, I don't trust him to do anything in the afternoon.
Well, he did eventually get through the inning. He struck out Marcelo Ozuna, and the Mets are down 7-6 going to the 9th inning. We'll come back and have our just horrible death of game one of this doubleheader when we come back. We're having a wonderful audio watch party. I'm sweating like a pig. You could cap off NL Week 4 with